sensing.
The theme for the Zazenkai today is Zazen, which, as you know from hearing talks over the years, is of course the heart of Zen practice, Zazen. The most famous of sesshins is Rohatsu Sesshin. Sesshin is retreat. And every year around the world, monks and lay students together participate in Rohatsu Sesshin, which is held from December 1st to December 8th. December 8th being a memorable date in the practice of Zen and in Buddhism. And the Rohatsu Sesshin is the culmination of the practice year, and it's traced all the way back to Shakyamuni Buddha, who was enlightened on the 8th day of December when he looked up at the morning star, which of course is the planet that we call Venus. And the brightness of this planet was seen by Buddha from the depths and the stillness of these 8 days of intense Zazen. And in this moment, when he saw the morning star, he realized perfect enlightenment. And remember, he realized this doing the same practice that we do, Zazen. So Zazen is the vehicle for insight. And when the Buddha had his first insight, he said, from within this state of mind, how wondrous all beings are endowed with this pure nature. What a wondrous, astonishing thing has been realized. All the 10,000 things, all the flowers, all the trees, all the rocks, all things everywhere are shining. What an amazing thing. It's the same landscape, but how brilliantly it is illuminated. What freshness in everything. And if we sit, if we do Zazen diligently, this experience is open to every one of us. You don't have to be special to have this experience. You just have to sit. You just have to practice Zazen. And it is from within this deep illumination of the mind of the Buddha that all of the Buddha's wisdom is born. And this wisdom, everything that flows from this insight, becomes the foundation of Zen. And as I said, the Buddha's awakening is possible for each one of us sitting here in this room, because that is the power of this practice. Each time we take up this posture, we are preparing ourselves to awaken to our true self. And as Dogen said, to study the self means to forget the self. And to forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 things. And it happens. The self drops away, and there's a totally new experience of reality. So if we see Zazen from this perspective, we see that it is a sacred activity. And so we should assume the posture of Zazen with great care, great attention. We don't just sloppily sit down on our cushions. This is a sacred act that we make every Sunday, every morning, whenever it is that you sit. It's a sacred act. A profound act, a profound activity. So I would like to spend just a few more minutes reviewing how to take up this incredible posture. Now I know that you've all received instruction in Zazen and you've heard this many times, but I ask you to listen with a fresh mind, with an open mind, to see if there isn't some slight, subtle aspect of the way in which you sit that could be improved, that could be changed. We tend to see body, breath, and mind separately. But in Zazen, they become one reality. They are not separate. They inform each other. So as you assume the Zazen posture, the first thing you should pay attention to is the position of your body. Because how we position our body has a lot to do with what happens to our mind and to our breath. The most important thing is that the position is stable and that the spine is erect. Stable, because if it's wobbly, if we're constantly correcting, that activates the mind. The spine should be erect in a particular way because it allows our diaphragm to move freely. It allows the body to just simply breathe. It allows the breath to just come and go into our body. It is also important to wear loose-fitting clothing and to loosen any belt that you may be wearing, because you want to allow the diaphragm to move freely so that the breathing can be deep, it can be easy, and it can be natural. And most of all, you don't have to control the breath. Just let it happen. Just let the body breathe. Once you have assumed a stable position, make sure that the mouth is closed and that you are breathing through your nose. Unless, of course, you have some type of nasal obstruction. Further, press your tongue gently against the upper palate. This reduces the need to salivate or to swallow. Your eyes should be lowered, with your gaze resting on the ground 2 or 3 feet in front of you. Your eyes will be mostly covered by your eyelids, which eliminates the necessity to blink repeatedly and also helps prevent getting drowsy. The chin should be tucked in just slightly. And although if you see the pictures or you look at someone else sitting, and the Zazen posture looks very disciplined, and in a sense it is, but at the very same time, the muscles should be soft. We should release any tension in our body. If you feel a place of tension, just breathe into the tension and let it leave your body on the outgoing breath. Just letting it go. Your nose should be centered in line with your navel. The upper torso should be straight, leaning neither backward nor forward. Next, you can bring your attention to your hands. Now, the traditional form of sitting, they should be folded into what's called the cosmic mudra. The way of doing this is that the dominant hand is placed palm up. So if your dominant hand is your right hand, you place that down first. If it's the left hand, you place that down first. And then you place the other hand on top of it so that the knuckles of both hands overlap and the thumbs should be allowed to just gently touch. So we form like an oval, looks like an egg. And the hands can then rest on your feet or on your thighs, depending upon what sitting position you're in. We begin the actual practice of meditation by bringing our attention to our breath. The words ki in Japanese and chi in Chinese mean power. And this power, this energy that comes out of this sitting position, is derived from breath. The mind and the breath become one reality. If your mind is agitated, your breath will become agitated. When your mind is at rest, the breath will be deep and easy. And if the breath is deep and easy and effortless, the mind will relax. The incessant thinking will slow down. And so they play back and forth. Breath informs mind, mind informs body. And in that process, we sit more deeply, more deeply, more deeply. please remember that it is important that you center your attention in your hara. That's a spot about 2 inches below the navel. And the hara is considered the physical and spiritual center of the body. So you put your mind here. That's where you're noticing the body breathe, about 2 inches below your belly button. Just feeling it come in, fill up. And then when it's done with its in-breathing, just feeling it go back out. Now, depending upon where you are in your practice, you may be counting while you're doing this, or you may be simply present to the body breathing. But whichever the practice is, don't make it a struggle. If you lose attention of the breathing, just notice that you've lost that attention and just simply go back and start again. Nobody knows but you how well or how not well, if you want to put it in those terms, you're doing. It's a secret. So if you can be gentle and kind to yourself, if you can be compassionate with yourself, your practice will be easy. It doesn't ever matter whether you get to 10 or not. What matters is how much attention are you going to pay to this breath right now in this moment. If you are working with a koan or you're doing shikantaza, the practice is slightly different. But it still involves paying attention. The cup fell to the ground. The sound was perfectly clear. Emptiness was smashed to pieces. The mad mind abruptly came to a halt. So as we do our Zazen Kai, I wish you a bon voyage. Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm going to say a few more brief words on Zazen, which is, as I mentioned this morning, the theme of this Zazen Kai. And I mentioned in the earlier talk, I was talking somewhat about the power of just the simple act of doing Zazen. And I mentioned there are two words. The one is Japanese ki, K-I, and the other is the Chinese word qi, C-H-I, which are translated to mean power. I just wanted to refer back to that and say this is not power over anything. It's the creation of an energy in our belly that allows us to become free. We're not sitting to conquer anything. We're really sitting to free ourselves to realize what we already are, which I've said many, many talks before. You know, Dogen says we don't sit to attain enlightenment. We sit to express the enlightenment that is already present in us. In his definition of Zazen, the sixth patriarch says, now normally if you look it up or you read about Zazen, it's usually Za Tu and Zen Sid. It means this, to sit Zen. Za meaning to sit and Zen. But interestingly, the sixth patriarch says that Za means not to add any concepts, such as good or bad, to what arises externally. Not to add any concepts. And when we receive each thing just as it is, just as it comes to us, we are not caught in duality. We are not caught in me and the thing which has presented itself. And we do this by not imposing any judgment, by going beyond dualism and simply reflecting whatever comes. Right? That's sort of the process that I was describing earlier. When we're sitting, we're not controlling the breath. We're not having power over the breath. We're sitting there bearing witness, reflecting whatever comes, just like a mirror. Right? Sometimes the breath is short and rapid. Sometimes it's deep and slow. It doesn't matter. We are in a state of mind, in a place within ourselves where we simply reflect that activity. And in doing so, we are beyond judgment and evaluation. We are seeing things exactly as they are, including ourselves. And when we see things clearly without prejudice, we then are free to act and do what's required in any particular moment. The following encounter is from the 46th case of the Blue Cliff Record. Zen Master Kyosei asked the monk, "What's that sound outside?" And the monk answers him by saying, "The sound of raindrops." Simple enough, the sound of raindrop. But Kyosei was not satisfied with the monk's answer and responded saying, "Sentient beings are inverted. They lose themselves and follow after things." Now you would think on the surface, the answer, "What's that sound out to? What's that sound outside? The sound of raindrops," would be a pretty good answer. But Kyosei saw something. He saw that the monk was not reflecting, that the monk was still in a state of duality. It was still the monk observing raindrops. So the point is that the person hearing the raindrop and the raindrop are not two separate things. There is no enlightenment in saying the sound of raindrops. As long as we think there is an I listening to something that is not I. And apparently, Kyosei perceived that when the monk answered, that the monk was still, even though this is a pretty direct, simple answer, the monk was still caught as the observer. So when we hold on to nothing, we know that our mind is still. We are the sound of raindrops, right? Now, my guess is that when I do these kinds of things, there is a moment when there is a self-conscious experience of the sound. And then the mind usually goes to, okay, so what's his point? What's he doing by this? He's not going to catch me. Whatever, the mind gets active again, right? But there is a few brief moments where you don't even have to say raindrops. Just listen. Another way to say this is, as long as the listener and the raindrop are two separate things, then there still exists a me. When no speck of me remains, we know the sound of the raindrops. We know the sound of the raindrops because we are the raindrops. As soon as we try to name it, understand it, explain it, we've gone back into dualism. Now, dualism is not bad, and the other experience is not good. They're just different. And it's important to be able to move back and forth as we live our lives, from the absolute to the relative, from the dualistic to the whole. So we're not setting up one as bad and the other as good. We need to know, though, they both exist, and we need to experience both of them, and we need to be able to live accordingly. There's another encounter that I like, which was between Master Butchō and the famous haiku poet Basho. And on a bright, clear day in May, Master Butchō went to visit the hermitage of the famous haiku poet Matsuo Basho. And he did this because Basho had communicated to the old master that he wanted to face him in Daisan. And when Butchō arrived at Basho's hermitage, the two smiled broadly at each other. Butchō spoke first, saying, "So, what have you realized?" And Basho answered, "The rain has ended, and the mountains are greener than ever. The moss is so bright, even greener than before." Guess what? Butchō did not accept this answer. He asked Basho, "What is the Buddha Dharma prior to that bright green moss?" He was asking Basho about an awareness prior to any division into green or greener, an awareness prior to thinking and comparing. He was asking Basho about just this. before distinctions arise. And Basho, who was no slouch and right on the edge, in this instant of being confronted by his perception by Butcho, wrote or said, Timus Koan, "Into the old pond a frog jumps, splash." Now that's it. That splash not only broke the stillness of the old pond, but it stops the activity of the mind. There is just pure awareness. Just splash. And that kind of experience is what is revealed through the practice of Zazen. Like I said earlier in the day, Zazen is the vehicle to experience the wholeness, the oneness, the directness, the just this of life. So stay with it. Thank you.